Byron Bay Try, the race, Saturday, May 11. Entries are now open at byronbaytry.com.au.
Hola, welcome back from the weekend. Nice to have you. Welcome back from your weekend, Robin Bailey.
I had so much fun. Yeah, group of 40-plus-year-old women. There were six of us in Perth
on
running
a wine tour.
Yeah. On a wine tour.
It would sound like it. You'll hear it on the podcast. Unbelievable. Gordon Tallis was...
I was going to say, how drunk did you get? You're pissed at one point when you go, hold on, is the sunset going down over the ocean? Where have I ended up here?
It was a little bit like that, but we were smart. We made some smart choices. Like when someone said, let's go sing karaoke, someone else went, no, let's go home.
Yeah, so, that's a good one.
Oh, so
then we sang karaoke at home.
That's smart.
There are shots of some of us upside down on a trampoline, some of us trying to do acrobatics in a tree. Ugh. Yeah, no, not really appropriate underwear, but, you know, that's what happens when good mothers go bad.
I'm getting on iCloud and sending some of that to courier mail. They'll pay good money for that. Gordon Tallis on the show today. He didn't mince his words about the Broncos, did he?
Never does, mate. And it's time that a few people stood up. He and I are waging a two-man operation to bring down Professor Seibold. He's a fraud.
Make that three, brother. I'll get on board.
Come on board. There's a good bandwagon.
Another bandwagon. Do you guys have a theme song like the Suns?
The Suns theme song. Well, people are at least getting to know it. AFL's back, baby.
More on the Broncos as well. James Roberts caught doing something he shouldn't have done and he's not getting punished. Going to find out why with NRL Insider Dobbo. Just heaps of good stuff as well. Just other good stuff that you'll enjoy on the podcast, really. Yeah. Vague and ambiguous and wonderful.
Great.
Much like us.
Thanks.
The Big Breakfast. The Big Breakfast. Weekdays from 5:30 on Triple M.
Sunday afternoon, we talk NRL, talks rugby league, and we did the Storm versus Dogs game, Bulldogs game yesterday afternoon, 18-16 to the Storm. I think it finished up. And before the game, they have a pretty good chat leading into it, and Gordy Tallis has opened up, when he was asked about the Broncos, he has opened up on this is how he reckons they're going.
The club's not the club that I play for. I said that 5 years ago, and they go, well, you just don't like Wayne. Well, if I say it now, if I said it, if Kevvy Walters was there, if I say it...
What's different about the club now?
It's not the club that I play for, because there was winners there. There was people that respected the people that walked before us, and I knew everybody that had put their jersey on, and I don't think that it's happening there, and that's what makes the New South Wales jersey and the Australian jersey, and that's what Mel's brought back to the Queensland jersey. We've known who has worn it in the past, and I don't think that it's happening there. They've got a $27 million facility that they all sit there and have coffees, and they walk around the town like they own the place. And they own nothing. They've won nothing. A couple of my old teammates went to their 30th anniversary, and all the highlights that they showed were all the old team from the 90s. They can't show anything of this current crop.
Ooh.
They haven't won anything for 13 years now.
Well, he's had 24 hours to think about it. Let's see if he's
fair
standing
old sledge, by. But I tell you what, there's a lot of ride in it.
Hello, Gordy.
Hey, Robin. What, you think I'm going to change, Robin?
No, I don't think you're going to change.
No.
But what I will say, it's kind of easy to point the finger, but what's the solution? Well, like, what do you want them to do?
Well, the solution is one manager has 18 players in there, so he's running the club, so he can dictate to them. And that's just simple as that.
Robin's looking quizzical, Gordy. Break that down. So one manager, he moves all these players around.
Yeah, so Robin, everybody's got a manager. So it'd be like the manager owning you three at the Triple M. Well, he can pretty much, he's running the show because he can threaten to take one of yous out every year or whatever. So that's, it happened at the Titans. There was one manager that had about 12 players there, and that was a Cherry Evans backflip, and then he took three other players, and he just... So what happens is they end up running the club. It happened at Parramatta. It's happened at the West Tigers, and the same footy manager was at Parramatta at the time. Well, he's at the Broncos now, Pete Nowell. So what happens is they end up running the club. They can dictate to you, and they sell you players that they can't get at any other club because they've got other players there. If you don't take them, they take the other players away.
Gordy, isn't there one manager has about five or six coaches in the NRL, so that one guy decides where everyone's going to go. As soon as he slides one coach somewhere, all the other coaches have to
really
fall.
It's really fake to me.
It's really fake.
Yeah, and you know, and that's the disappointing part, you know, is where the club is. And then, like, people say that I don't like them, and... You know, and I don't get back there, but I've never walked back into St. George. I'm an ambassador of the Titans. I actually don't go to the Titans games either, right? I'm not one of those guys that needs to stand there and get the limelight of walking back in a Broncos jersey with that old hat and say that I played for them. I love the club. That's the club that I played for. And then when Wally Lewis comes on you could hear his disappointment in his voice yesterday, and then he can't say anything, right? Because he's Wally Lewis, and he is the club, really. Darren Lockyer has said it indirectly, and he's been passive-aggressive about, you know, Darius Boyd's defence at the back and Milford and that, and we're all sitting there, and then when we see each other, you know, we all talk, and we talk openly, but no one's game enough to say that they're scared of where the club's going.
So what are you saying then? You should get rid of that manager guy?
Mate, I think it's poor management at the start. You know what I mean? So this coach, and I feel sorry for Anthony Griffin. He's walked, Anthony Seibold, he's walked in on a 5-year deal, right? The players aren't having a go for him, right? He was at South. I think he got outplayed. I think Wayne Bennett's moved this all around. And I think the club's, in a lot of trouble.
Okay.
I really do.
Wow.
You can sit back and go, oh, yeah, no, the Broncos are all right. They've got this facility. And then that's why they're saying, Robin, every single time there's a new kid on the block, mate, they're putting that much pressure on him, saying that he's the next Shane Webke, Alan Langer, Darren Lockyer, Steve Renouf or whatever, and they're not. And I feel sorry for the whole organisation because I think they're smothering some of the decisions that they're making.
Hey, because they're so young, do young guys have trouble with consistency?
Yeah, mate, we all do, mate. And I reckon I was 27 before I was really established and thought that, you know, that week in, week out, I knew what to do on the footy field. And then these guys are 20, 22, 23. But then that's what they've got.
But
that's the roster. So that's who they've signed.
But surely then, Gordy...
Do you blame the players, right, that got put in a position that they can't do? Or do you blame the people that put them in the position, Robin? You've got to start... You know, with the people that make the decision, you don't go to the, you know, people out there that can't do their job because they've been put in that position to do the job that they can't do at the moment.
But surely,
and then
Gordy,
everybody stands there and bags them.
If the glory days were in the 90s when you were playing and Wally was playing, shouldn't you guys go back and help them?
They've tried. And they didn't get the job. It was Kevvy Walters.
Yeah.
No, you know, I mean, but to be inspirational and to kind of nurture them and help them get that back.
Robin, if you've got to be motivated to play rugby league, if you've got to be motivated to get up at 4 a.m. to go to Triple M, well, you're doing the wrong job.
True.
Correct.
If you're getting motivated to have to go do your daily job, you're doing the wrong job. You shouldn't to tell someone to pull on a Broncos jersey and run out there, or St. George, or Titans, or...
Anyway.
Cowboys. This is just not the Broncos, or Wallabies, or whatever, or the Queensland Reds. If you have to be motivated to pull on your daily work gear and go, well, you're doing the wrong job.
Hmm.
Well, I saw this morning in the newspaper that I think they're doing some team-building exercises down there at the Broncos. There's a photo of James Roberts. It looks like he's fallen backwards with his eyes closed. The boys have caught him, so that's good. You know what I mean? They're just trying to build a bit of mateship down.
Gordy, it is really refreshing to hear someone talk open and honest about it because they were gross against the Roosters, and it's great. They were disgusting. That's the benchmark. The Roosters are the benchmark, and they're not lifting it, so they're not going to lift the trophy at the end of the year. Gordon Tallis, thanks so much, my man.
Cheers, guys.
Big breakfast, Triple M. Okay, I'm just about to seriously incriminate myself, but here goes. Went to Perth for the weekend for a wonderful girls' weekend with five of my girlfriends. We went to visit a mate, Laura, who used to live here and now lives over there, and we've been promising forever. So at my wedding, and you know, a bit of a state, we all decided, yes, we're going to go, and yes, we're going to do it this weekend, the last weekend that just went by.
Did she come over to your wedding?
Yep.
Oh, that's why you made the promise.
Yeah, she's a really good mate, and we haven't been over to see her, but you know.
Long way to go, Rob.
It's a really long way, but we had the most awesome time because what do you associate with Perth that's actually very close by?
Sharks.
Okay, no. I was going to go wineries.
Wineries, yeah.
So on the Saturday, we went and did a winery tour. We got a bus and we went and did lots of drop-offs to the places, a big winery, Saddleford, I think it's called, where the Day on the Greens are held there. Amazing, fun time. We certainly got involved.
Did you spit it out?
Yeah, no.
No,
no. we did not spit it out. Yeah. Now, I just want to ask you two, if you got really... in a happy place, what is it that you would do on the bus going home? Would you become loose? Would you start screaming, hanging out the car windows? Would you laugh
a lot.
Yeah. Well, we were laughing.
Stories.
But at some point in someone's brain, we decided to try and work out what other songs you could sing the national anthem to.
What? Hold on.
Where you use the words and it matches with other music.
Oh, yeah.
We found one.
What, K-San?
No, we found one. Can you guess this one?
Australians all let us rejoice, for we are young and free.
Gilligan's Island.
Okay, that's enough.
I like that one better. That's sick.
That is good.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what a group of 40-plus-year-old women in a truck
do. What are you doing AFL Grand Final this year?
It's the Big Breakfast, Triple M.
I don't know.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
You know how I was telling you the other day about those two Canadian guys who were staying in my house? The last night they got home at 3:30 in the morning as I'm going to work. They got home. I find out when I get home that they've come home from the valley, ridden Lime scooters the whole way.
That's not that far. It's only, what, 5-6 Ks?
5 or 6 Ks. That's a long way. Like, is there anyone else has ever ridden a Lime scooter that far? And they said, oh, Richie, one of the Canadian guys, oh, he fell off all the way and he had blood. I saw him today. Oh, I saw him when I got home that day. He had blood coming out of his elbows. But the two Lime scooters have been out the front of my house. They lasted for about 24 hours, maybe 36 hours, and then finally they disappeared.
Yeah, because someone comes and picks them up and recharges them.
Bev, has anyone ever ridden a Lime scooter? And then on the weekend, I saw a couple of people at Newmarket train station hanging around there. So they're starting to come out into the suburbs rather than just the inner city. I don't know what's going on.
Well, we've got Mitchell Price, who's the Director of Strategy for Lime Scooters, and he can answer all these questions. Hello, Mitchell.
Good morning.
Hey, well, just that first one I want to know, what's the furthest away from the city that there's been a Lime scooter located?
So the furthest on our records is that there's been trips over 15 kilometres out of the city CBD.
So where did they end up?
So past Newmarket, we've had people travelling well out into the suburbs.
What, Aspley or somewhere?
On these. Well, as further as Aspley, we've had people even go to the Gold Coast, but let me come to that one in a moment.
Yeah.
They weren't on, they didn't ride the scooter the entire way to the Gold Coast, but they've done one of those things of hopping on the train and taking it down the coast and riding around for the day and then coming back. That was pretty creative of them, but no, 15 kilometres is out of the CBD. And what I've been saying to council is let's get these out into the burbs because people want to use them, not just in the CBD.
But there's only 500, isn't there?
Well, there's 750 at the moment. The council's saying 500, but we'll continue that conversation with them because if we want to get more out into the burbs so that people in Newmarket and other suburbs can use them, we need well more than 500.
Okay, so for the guy or the girl that took the Lime scooter on the train to the coast and then came back again, how much would that have cost for the day?
Well, you can actually pause the trip. So you can pause your trip or you can end your trip. Now, we have the technology to be able to find people. However, I'm not in the business of being the Grinch of Christmas. So, you know, letting people go down there and I had a phone call from a mate of mine on the coast who's like, there's three scooters down here. Have you guys launched again? And my answer was no. But those people took them down, had a ride, and then did the responsible thing and brought them back.
So you're only charging while the wheels of the scooter, it's not on a GPS locator, you're not charging them for travelling on the train.
Well, we charge per minute, so we charge for as long as the scooter's unlocked. So technically, you can hop on the train, you can end your trip, you can head down, you can unlock it, and on you go. So there's been a couple of people, obviously, the last time they did that was, I think, about a couple of weeks ago. So even when we were down the coast, there were people that actually took them from the coast up to Brisbane, so even though we didn't stay around the coast for very long, they helped us out by taking a few scooters back north.
What's the longest trip you've seen someone take, like just a full-on riding the whole time trip you've seen someone make on a Lime scooter?
I think the longest I could see from the data that we have has been over a half an hour trip. Yeah. On a scooter, which is a long time.
How are you charging these things? Let's say someone does that half-hour trip and they just parked it like they did outside my house. Have you got a van, I believe, that comes along and finds the scooter, drops it in, and then where does it get charged? What's the process there?
So our Lime warehouse is in West End, and that's where you'll find all of our vans and team picking up scooters, taking them back, or the juices himself. So with a scooter that's run out of charge, so a full, if you ride a scooter on its a full battery, you'll get about 4 hours worth of rides out of them. So you could ride around on a scooter for 4 hours until the thing goes under 20%. Then we'll send someone out to pick it up because it needs to be charged again, and then we'll put a new one out on the street in its place.
Mitch, I heard a story the other day. So you got 700 scooters. I've heard that you have put out into the market, or whatever you want to call it, 7,000 helmets. Is that true that people are stealing that many helmets?
Well, we're now up to 9,000 helmets that people have taken.
And souvenir.
Last week I've had a photo come through of someone in Brisbane that decided to opt for a lime helmet over a hard hat on a construction site. So they've been used in weird and wonderful ways.
Yeah, right.
And Mitch, have you sorted all the technical glitches? Because there was a terrible story last week of a bloke who ended up in hospital with a broken face.
Look, there's 2 points of that one. So the first one is, yes, we have fixed the glitch. We have rolled out numerous number of software updates. We've got a third-party company named Exponent that do investigations into aeroplanes and motor accidents. They've confirmed that everything is safe and ready to go. On last week's accident, whilst it was very similar circumstances, we've run a number of tests in our back end, and we were able to, because we monitor our brakes now every half a second, we were able to come to the conclusion that it wasn't a wheel lock. It was a something in the surface, and the rider had lost control and had injured themselves from falling off the scooter. Mm. I've spoken to the injured rider. I've spoken to him a number of times and offered him our full assistance in covering his medical bills.
Oh, nice.
But there is that balance between safety and also common sense. And sometimes our riders and the conditions that they're riding on are not the best, and some riders are better than others. And in this case, from all the testing that we've done, and we compared the testing from last time, we compared it from around the world, we did not conclude it was a wheel-locking issue.
Oh, there's some idiots. We know that, yeah. Mitch. Hey, we're going to keep moving, mate. Thank you. That's all been fabulous.
And judging by his face, you know he's not the one stealing your helmets. Mitchell Price, Director of Strategy from Lime Scooter. Thanks for your time.
Cheers,
Big Breakfast,
mate.
Triple M.
Well, Robin, Married at First Sight last night, the blockbusting reunion edition.
It was disgraceful. I've never seen women behave so badly. I was on a flight from Perth and people were streaming it through the Wi-Fi that was available on the plane, and there was audible gasps as Cyrell threw a glass of wine on Martha, or Martha threw a glass of wine on Cyrell, and then she retaliated. But I don't think you'd care at all about any of that.
Was Susie in it?
Susie was in it, the chick from Jimboomba, who was with Billy, and they left and they were back for the reunion.
I've just seen an article that says that her and Todd Carney yesterday afternoon declared their love for each other, correct?
What, on social media?
On social media.
Oh, God.
Gross. Okay.
What do you mean, oh, God? Todd's got a job. He's captain coach of the Byron Bay Devils.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I don't know.
She lives
She's on Married at First Sight.
Anyway, yeah. And, of course, we've got on the line right now one of Todd's greatest friends and a good friend of the show over the years, Birdie.
Hey, shut up, guys. Darren's Birdie. He's back on the radio. He's been banned for a little while, but Birdie's used to that, Darren. I must have given some flog down at Radio HQ a chicken wing to the neck. So I won't let Birdie on the airways, but he's back, baby.
Birdie, we brought you on. Yeah, do you need a beer? Are you still drinking?
Well, yes, I've been a little bit. At this time of the morning, now I have a Powerade infused with Jaeger. I might just crack one of them. It's just one of you, a little bit of a hard day. Anyway, I can't believe you flogged. It's still working. You got bloody Mardo there. He must have photos of Mr. and Mrs. Triple M in some sort of bondage, because why would they let you on still there? But that is... And
Birdie.
Then you got this new bloke. Yeah, sorry, mate. I'm getting a bit excited, but just have a can to calm down a bit. What do you want? There we go. What do you want?
A can of Powerade.
Birdie. Birdie, we know you had your wedding down there at Byron Bay and you weed on the police car, etc. We thought we were here. You're a good mate of Todd Carney. Have you heard anything from him?
Can I tell you something? In all seriousness, like, you flogs don't know nothing, but I tell you something. Love has blossomed. Lavish Glossy, and then I'll just have a can of Powerade to come down. Lavish Glossy, hey, baby. Lavish Glossy between the beautiful Todd Carney and some trollop from Married at First Syphilis. Oh, it's unbelievable. it's an unbelievable. I'll put him on. Do you want to have a quick word? I'll put him on. He's right.
You got Toddy.
Hey, Toddy. Yeah, Toddy, pull up the dash, buddy. Yeah, come over here. Hang on, I've got the flogs from Triple M. Just tell him how you feel about your missus. Hang on, here he comes. Hang on.
Hey. I'm so happy to meet you, Mum. That's romantic, that's her.
Oh, not a dry eye or mouth in the house. Not a dry eye. Okay. Well, I've got to go. Piss right. off.
Speak
go,
to Birdie.
See you, Birdie.
Thanks, Birdie.
Yeah, one for the
race. Another can of Powerade. He's fired up. Gallennials. You ever heard of them, guys?
I have not. As you said, I'm thinking seagulls. Gulls.
Gull, G-U-L-L?
Yep.
Gallennials.
It stands for gullible millennials.
Oh, wow. Okay, there are a lot.
Term, gallennials, because they found that 18 to 35-year-olds, the millennial generation, are twice as likely to trust internet influencers than a close relative or companion.
Oh, God.
I found that over 50% believe advice on Facebook, Instagram, and from online bloggers is more reliable than from friends and family when booking a holiday.
Would you Muppet.
Really, though? Wouldn't you trust something like a travel blogger versus my dad? You know what I mean? Like, who are you going to listen to? Someone that travels and writes about it for a living versus a relative, you know, that went to Bali once.
Oh, yeah, I suppose you're right.
In that respect, I guess. But it's the fact that the internet has become part of their psyche from, like, 2002 onwards. These kids just have no idea of anything else. And 100%. They all think we're stupid. So if you combine those two things...
Well, because they're saying that companies are increasingly sponsoring posts, you know, by celebrities who subtly use their influence, right, to pretty much pitch ads. Like, it looks like just a model on the beach... But that beach has got the resort in the background and this place, and she's holding a particular drink. And if it's not labelled as like a paid post,
they believe it.
People are falling for that sort of stuff.
But is it only travel that they're believing it in, or is there other areas?
Yeah, this research is all about the travel booking side. A holiday. But I reckon,
I think it'd be everything. That's why if Kim Kardashian wears something, it sells out in a heartbeat. You know, it's like there's this whole kind of concept that they, whatever that celebrity is beyond reproach and is smarter and better and brighter. And I'm with you. Gallennials is a thing.
You reckon? I can't believe they think that millennials are the most gullible when it comes to the internet. You know, is it millennials that are sending our bank details to help Nigerian princes? No, that's grandpa. He's a dickhead. He should get off the computer.
Big Breakfast, Triple M.
I want to find out your most irritating family habits. There's been a study done in the UK and they've broken down the most annoying things that family members are doing to one another. Oh. There's bad bathroom habits, bad kitchen habits.
Hang on, no. So what are they doing in the bathroom? Leaving the toothpaste lid off?
Oh, that's not even on there. Is that one that gets you?
What about leaving the washing in the bottom of the washing machine? You just do your washing and then just leave it, and then you come along with your washing and it's still in there.
Yeah, no.
God, I swear, I've done three loads of the same load. You know what I mean? Where it's just washed, never molding. Hung out, washed, never.
See, that's a bad habit.
My sons get absolutely bawled out because when they put their dishes, they don't put them in the dishwasher, which is literally bending down, like from the sink, put it in the dishwasher. Yeah, no, when they put it in the sink, Sean goes completely psycho.
Not rinsing.
Now, where my wife and I live, we rent, and the dishwasher there is like the size of a microwave. It's like, what, you get two plates and a few cups in there? It's like a half a dishwasher. But this study, right, they found 44% of people were annoyed by poor bathroom habits. Yeah. That's weeing on the toilet seat.
Ew. Oh,
the
seat up. Boo.
Put the seat up, boys. Come on.
I assume they're separate things. I assume you don't pee on the seat and then just lift it up and let that hit the lid. 38% were angered by a member of their family leaving a tap running and the lights on.
Lights on drive me a bit nuts. And air conditioning. That does my head.
Oh, really?
The boys. And the amount of times I have taken the air conditioning controllers, I've made them swelter through days and days of heat because they've refused to turn it off.
What about when you try to throw things in the bin, and have you got a bin cupboard, like we've got a cupboard, and then they actually miss, and then the person who empties the bin, so the rubbish is actually missed the bin and no one cares.
Look at us, we're such whingers.
All right, hold on. Why did this start again? Was this a study?
A study. Yep, study in the UK. The other one, not doing the washing up was a bugbear for 26, and 24% were annoyed when family members keep looking at their phone while they were trying to hold a conversation.
They seem low level. I reckon there's worse things than that.
Yeah.
Oh, towels.
I want to hear the ones that annoy you.
Towels, man.
Oh, my God.
How many children? Seriously, I counted in 1 week. There were 11 towels in his bedroom. I even have towels with his name on them.
Shouldn't we have a towel carpet?
Oh, my God. Drives me insane.
On the floor in their
hop
room.
Help out the shower and just roll on the ground?
Open it up.
Is that what you mean?
Yes. Open it up and let everyone have a go.
You know when the toilet roll ends? Mm. How about you change it?
Mm.
What
for sure.
That?
Keep going, Robin. Don't just let's keep going. What about you stop taking your socks off while you're watching TV and jamming them down the back of the lounge?
Who's doing that?
Not me. I'm telling someone about kids.
Uh-huh.
Other family members. Isn't that what this is about? Stop looking in the fridge for more than 28 seconds every time you stand up.
Oh, and then forgetting to shut the door properly. Mm.
Who forgets to I'm not looking forward to this. If that's what kids are up to.
Teenage sons.
Oh, they use it like it's a television. I got a friend who's got a camera now on the outside of their fridge. Will tell them what's inside. Modern new camera. Yeah, you can push up this thing and you don't have to open the door to find out what's in there.
Oh, dear. Mm. Aaron of Burpengary.
I'm not finished yet.
Okay, sorry.
All right, go to Aaron.
Aaron.
G'day. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Good, mate. How are you?
Good, thank you. It's the fridge. It's the food. Eating the food out of the fridge.
Oh, that drives me nuts.
That's what
it's for, isn't it? No, you take a bite, then you put it back.
Yep.
Or here's the thing. We have chocolate milk occasionally. Mm. Yeah. Just scull it and then put it back. Mm.
And
it's
then,
gross.
Yeah, with a few submarines put in there.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Aaron, have you got family members who'd be doing that, having a drink of either chocolate milk or softy and throwing a few subs in there?
It was more about, I don't know, it was a birthday cake in the fridge the other day and the teenagers ate it on me.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, you can't be leaving cake around teenagers. Just scoff it in your face in the car.
I hear you.
What I mean?
It's not
don't
fair,
bring it
Aaron.
Inside.
Well, why do we have children again? Sorry. Paul.
That is such a great... Put that on the whiteboard. Why do we have children? They're so dull when they're young and then they're evil when they're old.
Paul of Glasshouse Mountains, what is it that your family member does that annoys you?
Oh, mate, one of the good inventions that's happened since I was a kid is soft close hinges on cupboard doors. But what it does, when the kid's got a chore for the night, all they do is walk away, flick the cupboard so the hinge takes care of itself. Mm. But they don't have a look that something's holding the door open by like 10 mil, another door's 20 mil. After you finish the end of the night and see a kid done the kitchen, there's like five doors all half open. Because there's a jar of Vegemite or something sticking it out. It just does me head in.
You can hear your frustration, Paul.
Oh, mate, I feel like grabbing the Vegemite and throwing it at him.
Do you know, though, Kath Martin, as in Marto's wife, she has a bit of an issue about door closing in her cupboards. You would think as a carpenter you could give her those soft closing doors, but no. They're just left open for everyone, aren't they?
You give them to other people. You don't spoil yourself at home. Yes,
my favourite thing about the survey is that 20% of people confess that they have thought about booking into a hotel just to get some peace and quiet.
Wow.
I don't even want it. They've just had enough of trying to explain it to the kids and the partners. They're like, I'm out.
I'm gone.
Get me out.
Brendan, can you see if is the bandwagon, is it with the concierge? Could you just see if the concierge could bring the bandwagon? Because we talked about the rugby league, NRL.
Hey, that's here's it. The bandwagon.
Oh, we need it. Just pull it up there. Whoop.
Woo.
Slow it down. Woo. 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 We'll be on that short. Well, I'm on it.
Yeah, you're on
it. And it's another Monday, and I invite you all to get on it. And that's not just the Lions bandwagon this week. It is the Southeast Queensland footy bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear yesterday afternoon? Listen to who you think this commentator is. This happened at, let me check my notes, 4:47 yesterday afternoon. I watched the last half and they held on for a victory. Hold on, Brendan. Sorry, I didn't tell you about this, did I? just have a look at this, please.
Okay, so what
yesterday
were
afternoon,
they playing?
They were playing. Who were they playing?
Western Bulldogs.
Oh, the Bulldogs. God, they mean nothing to me. They have the most boring jersey. Jersey with a little bit of red, a little bit of white, no sponsors. Are they Footscray?
Yeah.
They used to be a really, like...
suburb of Melbourne. That's
they had
all
one
it
for 55 years, I think, until 2016.
And I like watching that game. And, all right, pick who this is. This is, though, ahead by about 24 points with 3 minutes to go. And the Bulldogs came back. It was very exciting at the end.
The Gold Coast are going to win it. And they have won a game. They've won by 5 points at Marvel Stadium in one of the best wins in the history of the Gold Coast.
Why is Eddie Maguire calling Suns games?
Because he's still serving out his punishment. Remember when he was rude to that disabled woman last
yes,
week?
Fair enough.
And his punishment was to have a day off work.
He was disgraceful.
I might punish myself and have a day off tomorrow, hey? All right, so he had to call a Gold Coast Suns. I don't know whether he's ever called a Gold Coast Suns game before, but he was so complimentary to them. You know how... Nick, could you tell me, could you tell everyone, he hates all the money that went to setting up the GWS Giants
interstate
and the Gold
clubs,
Coast.
Yeah. Interstate clubs get, different treatment.
As
than
the Collingwood
Victorian
president,
clubs.
He has always railed against and gone, what a waste of money to prop up these false economies, la, la, la. And now the Suns are starting to kick a few goals. It looks looking
so
good.
So did he start to get on your bandwagon?
It was almost as if Eddie was on the bandwagon. But the big thing is, so just get that bandwagon, just let it roll in the background while we're talking.
I got rid of the bandwagon.
Oh, so you got to get it back.
Oh, no.
Where's
it's
it
off.
Gone?
It's off to collect more people.
Yes. All right, so everyone, they seem to be the real deal, especially the Lions.
Such a ridiculous thing.
It's a good sound of bandwagon.
Wait until next week. I'm going to build another one next week when they win again. All right.
All the stone pathways outside Triple M.
Now, if you're on the bandwagon, you'll have to know the team song.
Okay. I've got it in front of me, but I don't know how it sounds. What's to the song?
I'm going to the dressing rooms in one moment, okay. Robin. Because a lot of the players still don't know the words to the song. There's a lot of choir members. You know how they stand in the back of choirs
and mouthing off. Yeah.
All right. Here's the Gold Coast team song for the first time on Triple M. Go the Suns.
We are the Suns.
That wasn't really singing. There was no song attached to that.
What was
I actually thought their voices were quite good, which, of course, makes sense. They're not going to blow out their throats, are they? They only get to sing that song a few times a year.
Oh, get on the bandwagon.
Big Breakfast, Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.